Hi, I'm Alex Scott from Arsenal Ladies, and you're listening to the Women's Football Podcast.
The Women's Football Podcast,
shining a light on the women's game.
Hello and welcome along to the pilot edition of the Women's Football Podcast. My name is Hamish Dufton and alongside me is Kieran Tavam. Say hello.
Hello.
And for the next 45 minutes or so, we will be shining a light on various topics within the women's game. Coming up on the podcast.
Yeah, first off, we're going to take a look at the Women's Super League and pick out our players to look out for this season.
We sure will. I caught up with England midfielder Jill Scott to talk Cyprus Cup success whilst the Welsh were in action in the Algarve Cup.
They were indeed, an Algarve Cup that was won by the US. And speaking of the United States, I'll be giving the lowdown on the newly formed NWSL in America, and I managed to catch up with Seattle Reign's Jess Fishlock.
Finally, all the talk has been Liverpool's summer recruitment drive, but Everton's Tony Duggan has her sights set on keeping the Blues on top on Merseyside.
The Women's Football Podcast.
Follow the podcast on Twitter
at WFPod.
Obviously, Kieran, the WSL season kicks off very soon. Arsenal are the reigning champions. Do you see them taking their crown again?
I think it's going to be difficult to stop them. I think when you look at the squad that they've got and the quality that they've got within that squad, they are still the team to beat. I know there are teams around them that have strengthened during the off-season. But I think when you look at who they've got in personnel, you look at Steph Houghton, you look at Kelly Smith and other, you know, quality internationals that they've got, I still think that they are going to be the team that everyone else needs to catch.
However, as you said, a lot of people have strengthened, so we're going to pick out our player to watch, each of us, from each individual team. We'll kick off with Arsenal. Kieran, who have you gone for?
Yeah, I think when I've read a few articles in the lead up to the season, and I think I've seen Jordan Nobbs' name mentioned quite a few times, and I can't really, you know, disagree with people who've picked her. I think Jordan's had a fantastic season last year. She's been called up into the senior England squad, scored a fantastic goal on her debut in the Cyprus Cup, and I think she's going to go on and achieve great things. But actually, I'm going to go down a different line, and I'm going to pick Danielle Carter. Danielle is an incredibly talented young player. She can play on the right side or the left or through the middle. I've seen her a fair few times play for Arsenal, and she's always a threat. She's very quick, she's got good feet, very direct, and she actually chips in with a few goals as well. She's already got England honours at certain levels, you know, younger levels, under 19, I think she's got, and under 15. I think she played in the under 20 World Cup a few years ago as well. So yeah, my player to watch out for Arsenal this season is Danielle Carter.
It's a good one. I'm going to go for, I think, the player of 2012, Steph Houghton. Of course, an unbelievable 2012. Those three goals for Team GB in the Olympics. You know, managers always talk about wanting their players to do better and better and better. I don't know how she's going to get better. So my one to watch for Arsenal is Steph Houghton, just to see whether she can maintain those heights. Obviously, the next club to look at is Birmingham, who pushed Arsenal very close.
Yeah, they did. They pushed them on both occasions in the two previous WSLs, finishing second, and they've certainly been the team to cause Arsenal the most problems. I think it might be a little bit more difficult for them this year. They've lost a few players. When you look at Eni Aluko, who's gone to Chelsea, and Jodie Taylor has gone on loan to Gothenburg, which was a move I don't think anyone saw coming. But they've still got some good players. You look at, they've got internationals like Rachel Unit and Laura Bassett, and I'm sure that they will be there or thereabouts come the end of the season. The player that I've actually picked to look out for is actually one that Hope Powell seems to really rate as well, because I've gone for Keris Harrop. Keris is a very good left-sided player. She's an under-23 England international. She was a member of the under-19 team that won the European Championships in 2009. Very good left foot, very direct, very good delivery. And anyone who saw the first WSL season will remember a really sweet strike that she scored against Everton. Really bright future, and I've gone for Keris Harrop.
Yeah, that's a good choice, Kieran. For Birmingham, I am going to pick out striker Rachel Williams, who scored plenty of goals for the Blues last season, and with the influx of young forwards that they've got, she'll be the experienced head tasked with scoring the goals once again. But moving on, Bristol Academy have to get over the loss of Jess Fishlock.
Yeah, they do. And what a loss it is, the current FA Women's Super League Player of the Year. They've still got some good players there. I'm sure that they will be competing at the right end of the league. Siobhan Chamberlain is a vastly experienced goalkeeper who I rate really highly. And we can't forget to mention our two Spanish friends who are playing up front next season, Laura Del Rio and Natalia. Natalia described as the female Michu, according to manager Mr. Sampson.
Quite a claim, isn't it?
It is, yeah, you have to say. I mean, no pressure on her. But actually, the player that I've picked out is Natasha Harding. I saw Tash a couple of times last season, most notably when Bristol came down to Boreham Wood and played Arsenal, and she scored an absolute peach, mate. Wide out on the right, smashed it past keeper Miss Byrne, and there's not many key people that can do that. But very direct, likes to beat a defender, Welsh international, really rate her, really think she's going to have a big season. So my player to look out for Bristol is Natasha Harding.
We, of course, said that Jess Fishlock was going to be a big loss, but ask any Lincoln Ladies player, supporter, manager, and they will be feeling the exact same thing about losing Lucy Staniforth, of course. And she's my player to watch out for, an England under-23 international who will be hoping for a big season, to maybe push her into the senior thinking. Certainly one to keep an eye on from 35 yards, because she's not shy from having a shot.
Yeah, make sure you close her down.
From Bristol to Chelsea now, and a couple more Scandinavians who have slipped under the radar. I've actually gone for one of them as my player to watch. I'm going to go for midfielder Edda Gardasdottir, who, when posed the question, what do you want to be when you grow up, answered, I wanted to play first trumpet in the Icelandic Symphony, get this, with a Roberto Baggio mullet.
What does that even mean?
I don't know, but if if her answer for that is crazy enough, then I'm sure she's going to be one to watch on the pitch as well.
Let's hope she's not as crazy as that on the pitch, because she could find herself being sent off if she's coming out with weird stuff like that.
Maybe. Who have you gone for?
I've gone for a fellow Scandinavian. I've actually gone for Sofia Jakobsson, and it might sound like a slightly obvious one seeing as she's a Swedish international, but I've heard good things about Sofia. I must confess, I've not seen an awful lot of her. I did manage to catch a glimpse of her during the recent Algarve Cup, she looked pretty dangerous. I actually had a very, very brief chat via Twitter with her fellow teammate Helen Ward. And Helen told me that she has got pace to burn and she will be a real threat for defences. I think she found it a little bit difficult on her debut in the FA Cup away at Lincoln. Wasn't an easy pitch to play on.
Everyone finds it tough at Lincoln though, don't
they? Yeah, it is. I mean, Lincoln are a very good side and I think they adapted better to the conditions than Chelsea did. And I think Sofia probably found it difficult. But I think she's going to have a good season. She's a Swedish international and internationals for Sweden are of a good quality. So, yeah, she's my one to look out for in what should be quite a strong Chelsea side.
Certainly, a very frightening front three down in London. Onward to Doncaster Rovers, perennial strugglers, but they have Sue Smith back, an experienced head, and she's my player to keep an eye on because she will be desperate to have a big season, having missed all last season through a very serious injury. Out wide, she might not have the most influential role, but she's a talker and she'll be a big help to her younger teammates.
Yeah, her experience is going to be massive, isn't it?
Who have you gone for?
I've actually gone for someone who's slightly younger than Sue. No disrespect, Sue, and we hope that you're well and that you'll be playing soon. I've gone for Kasia Lipka, who plays for the England under-23s. Kasia is a dynamic midfielder, creative, and chips in with the odd goal here and there. I think there's going to be quite a lot of emphasis on Doncaster's midfield to try and create chances for the strikers. As you mentioned, they've struggled in the previous two seasons in the Women's Super League, and with Liverpool strengthening as they have, and we're going to talk about them shortly. You know, Doncaster are going to have to do everything they can to try and keep up with the rest of the pack, because while everyone else has strengthened, Doncaster haven't so much. But that's not to say that we think they're going to do poorly. We just think that it's potentially going to be quite difficult for them.
Absolutely. However, it's also going to be interesting to see how Everton do this season. Obviously a change in manager, but they're still going to have that consistency with Andy Spence, the former assistant manager, stepping up to take the reins. They've lost a couple of big players. However, it's going to be interesting to see where the likes of Jill Scott plays, maybe in a slightly different role, maybe just behind Tony Duggan, similar to the men's side, actually, which could be quite interesting. I'm going to go, though, for Paige Williams. Now, I watched her in a pre-season friendly, and she was very, very comfortable in that Everton side. Andy Spence has repeatedly said that he's very happy having only brought in a handful of players because he has that youth coming through. And having watched Paige, I know exactly what he means.
Do you think it'll work against them, though, mate, having so many young players?
Well, I'm not sure, you know, because obviously everyone says, and Everton in general, this is men's and women's teams together, that perhaps they haven't got the bigger squad. Injuries could play a part. However, he is prepared, Andy Spence, to give those youth players a chance. So it fleshes out the squad. So it should be very interesting.
We have to give him credit for that, don't we? We like to see young players coming through, and it can only bode well, hopefully, for the England team in the future as
Absolutely, the Everton way. So who have you gone for?
I've gone for a fellow young England player. I've gone for Nikita Paris.
Good choice.
Yeah, Nikita's represented England at youth level, I think up to under-19s. And you mentioned that Everton have lost a few players, and when you look at who's gone, you've noticed Farrah Williams, obviously, but the strikers they've lost, Natasha Dowie and Grennan Harries, that's quite a few goals that's now been taken out of the team. So I think they're going to have to rely on some of the younger players, and Nikita Paris is lively, she's energetic, she's young, she's enthusiastic. So I think it could be a big year for her. Whether she starts the season, I'm not too sure, but I think as the season goes on and, you know, injuries come into play and you know, changes of tactics and things like that, I think you might see her being more involved. So my player to pick out for Everton ladies is Nikita Paris.
Absolutely, and she will have her hands full when they go down to play Lincoln, because they've got three of the England back five in their defence.
They have indeed.
Astounding.
Mm, absolutely. Karen Barnsley joining in the summer. How can you beat that when you've got her, Sophie Bradley and Casey Stoney in the team? Who is actually going to score past them with that?
Yeah, and you know, let's not forget Jess Clark at the other end banging goals. Could be dark horses, Lincoln. But I've gone for another possible England international who will be hoping for another big season. I've gone for Remy Allen. Lucy Staniforth, obviously leaving, as we mentioned earlier, a big loss. Had formed a very good partnership with Allen in midfield. I'm also a fan, Kieran, I don't know about you, of people, the archetypal number 10s, wearing the number 10 shirt. Remy Allen does that for Lincoln. She has my vote.
She doesn't wear number 2 like Kone for Wigan then, or for like Clint Dempsey, who wears number 2 for Tottenham.
No, ludicrous. Ludicrous. Hats off to Remy Allen. Who have you gone for?
There was a few I was tempted to pick. I was impressed with Precious Hamilton last year. She was the club's top scorer and was a real handful up front. She's like an old-fashioned English striker. She's big, she's strong. But I've gone for Carla Cantrell. Carla is a real goal threat for Lincoln. I think she could be the person they turn to when the going gets tough and they need a goal. And you know, I think what's worked in her advantage in a way is that while other players have been, you know, doing their own training during the off season, Carla actually went on loan to the Premier League and played for Leeds United for a little while. So she will certainly have no match fitness issues. She won't be as rusty as maybe some of the players are. So I think she could have a really good season for Lincoln this year. So I'm going for Carla Cantrell to look out for.
Excellent. Do you know what? I think it might actually be perfect that we end on Liverpool Football Club. A hell of an investment over the course of the summer.
Why do you say that?
Well, they've only made one or two signings.
Yeah.
However, the one word that you can link to that links every single player is international.
Yeah, lots of quality. Lots of quality brought in. Clearly they're reaping the benefits of having the link up with the men's side.
Absolutely. And I've gone for the England international in that group, Farrah Williams, which is probably an obvious choice, but I watched Farrah play her last game for Everton against Bristol, and she absolutely ran the show, and I just think she could be the driving force for that Liverpool team who will, the manager said that top four will be a good finish this season, but could you bet against them finishing in that top two?
I think they've got to be aiming higher than that, haven't they? When you look at the investment they've put in and the players that they've got, it's a good move for Farrah, I think. I think even she admitted in a few interviews that she needed a fresh challenge. And probably, you know, it's probably the same for Natasha Dowie, who's joined her at Liverpool. They have had a lot of players come in. And I have to be honest, mate, you know, I've not seen some of them. So it's difficult to sort of pick those players out. But I am really looking forward to seeing them. But I've actually gone for the player to look out for. I've gone for their goalkeeper, Sarah Quantrill. And the reason I've gone for Sarah, I saw her last season in the FA Cup semi-final against Arsenal. And it has to be one of the best goalkeeping performances I've seen by either a male or female goalkeeper. She was unbelievable, mate. It was ridiculous. You know, she kept her team in it, and with absolutely no disrespect to the rest of her teammates, who clearly put in a shift against a very, very good Arsenal side. Sarah Quantrill was absolutely unbelievable that day, and you know, she was a big reason why her club made it to the final of the FA Cup. And I think Matt Beard showed a lot of faith in her. He had Nikki Davis, who was voted the Women's Super League Goalkeeper of the Year last year, and he's decided to sort of replace her with Sarah, and Nikki's actually gone down to Chelsea, so they've swapped clubs. But yeah, I think Sarah's in for a big season. I think she's got real quality in front of her when you look at Whitney Egan and Gemma Bonner in front of her, and I think she's in for a good season. So my player to look out for Liverpool ladies is Sarah Quantrill.
Brilliant. Well, it poses to be a fantastic WSL season. Obviously, the third version of it before it starts a two-tier league in 2014, which should be very exciting with the threat of relegation. However, moving on. I'm sure everyone's aware that England have been successful in Cyprus of late, and I caught up with England midfielder Jill Scott.
Well, Jill, congratulations, Cyprus Cup winners. And deserved.
Yeah, it was. I think going into it, we highlighted that in 2009 was when we last won it, which was our first year there. And then since then, obviously, the teams have got a lot stronger, and the time of year that it falls for us before we've even like played as a team, and most of us are in pre-season, we kind of struggled the past few years. But I think we just highlighted that this is a massive year with the Euros, and it would be great preparation in terms of being away as a team for 2 weeks. And I think we managed it really well, and obviously that shows by winning it.
It was a fantastic group stage as well, 11 goals scored and 7 points gained.
Yeah, and I think the most pleasing thing about the goals was that it was a lot of different goal scorers. I think there was probably 6 or 7 different names, which showed how much the whole squad was used. Players were fresh, therefore, for the games. It was just very pleasing. The performances themselves were stuck to the game plan, and were really like delivered what was asked of us.
And obviously in the final against Canada, obviously, yeah, who knocked out Team GB, was it a little bit of revenge for those who played in that game?
Yeah, I think for the girls that were involved in Team GB, that was kind of a really hard moment, losing that game. And I think we've probably thought about it about 100 times since, kind of what went wrong, what we could have done better. Because it really did feel like a missed opportunity, but I think we kind of got our heads down, we came up with a new game plan, and it worked. And obviously, to be honest with you, the scoreline, it could have been a couple more. Like, we had a couple of really good opportunities, so we could have beat them 2-3-0.
And obviously, another plus point, a couple of youngsters getting their names on the score sheet as well.
Yeah. Jordan Nobbs obviously made her debut, and she scored a cracking goal. I think it was about 25 yards out, so she kind of got to follow that up now. But she had some really good performances out there, which was really pleasing. Tony Duggan from Everton. I wasn't surprised by that. Obviously, I get to play with her every week, and she bangs them in for fun, to be honest, in training and in games. So it was great to see her do that on the international stage.
And obviously, as you touched on earlier, 2 weeks away, a win and great preparation for the Euros.
Yeah, couldn't have gone any better, really. Obviously, the game against Scotland, which was a 4-4 draw, but even that would take kind of positives and negatives from it, and then it stood us in good stead going into the New Zealand game. But yeah, great preparation. As I said before, we've got the Euros this year, so we knew that if we could kind of get into winning ways, then hopefully that'll stand us in good stead for the Euros.
And obviously, Canada get a chance for revenge.
Yeah. I think obviously we'll play them in 2 weeks' time, but we'll be expecting it to be a totally different game. I think we'll be expecting quite a big crowd at Rotherham. Just completely different circumstances, so it'll be a good test for us. They're a really good team, got a lot of strengths, obviously players like Christine Sinclair, one of the world's best, and I know that the girls kind of relish a challenge up against her because she's one of the best in the world, and to get them kind of challenges doesn't happen week in, week out. So it'll be a good test for us, but we just want to keep on winning.
Cheers, Jill, best of luck against Canada.
No worries.
There you have it, Jill Scott talking about a successful Cyprus Cup.
It's interesting that she mentioned Jordan Nobbs and Tony Duggan in that interview. Do you think that they will be on the plane to Sweden come July?
Oh, good question. Tony, yes, I think. I think she will have a very good season for Everton, and I think that She may come in on that left-hand side for England, I think. Rachel Yankee's heir apparent, perhaps. Jordan Nobbs. Interesting to hear Jill sing the praises of her, and obviously she scored a fantastic goal, which is a great way to mark your England debut. She's got plenty of competition in there, so you know, if she can do the business for Arsenal, then there's no reason why she can't. But not the only international tournament. We had Wales involved with the Alcarve Cup, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. Difficult competition for Wales. They had a tough group when you look at Hungary, Portugal and Mexico. Lost their opening game against Portugal, drew with Hungary, but beat the Mexicans. And when you think that Mexico were in the World Cup in 2011, then they probably won their most difficult game. But, you know, it's a learning curve for them. They had to play an 11th place playoff game against Portugal again and unfortunately lost on penalties. But, you know, they'll be disappointed, but I'm sure that, you know, there's bigger things for them coming up at the end of the year. The World Cup qualifiers start in September, and I'm sure they'll be focusing on them.
The Women's Football Podcast.
Listen to the podcast via SoundCloud.
SoundCloud.com/WFPod.
Right, what's next? Yes, the NWSL kicks off the very same weekend that the WSL does.
Does indeed.
And we have some English talent out there. But first, Kieran, you've been looking into this brand new league. Let's talk a little bit about why previous versions of this season have failed to get off the ground.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, isn't it? They've had two previous professional leagues in the States, one in 2001, which is off of the back of the 1999 World Cup win, which lasted a couple of years, and then they had another one in 2009, which saw players like Kelly Smith and Ennio Luco and Karen Carney go and play out there, and unfortunately that again lasted a few years, and I think it's just financial problems and sustainability have come into play, and unfortunately they just haven't been able to survive. They were clearly well supported in terms of the fans, but unfortunately financially they couldn't maintain them.
And obviously allocating players has been quite a complicated process.
Yeah, the NWSL and allocation of players is interesting, and I followed it from when it sort of began at the start of this year, and it's quite a long process. I mean, initially players from America, Canada and Mexico were allocated to the eight teams that are going to be taking part, sort of distributed evenly based on the players' preferences and the team's preferences. And then following on from that, they have a college draft, very similar to what you'll see in American football and basketball and so on and so forth, where the teams pick a player in a number of rounds, picking in a particular order, so picking the best players out of college. And then they were allowed to sign four free agents, which obviously meant plucking some of the players that were out there and available that were that were keen to play in America. And then following that, they had a supplementary draft, which was a combination of college players that hadn't been drafted in the initial college draft and also free agents that were available and wanting to play in America. So, long process that took a number of weeks, but certainly one that has now sort of enabled the teams to fill their squad rotas.
Do you think maybe because of the previous leagues failing, that has been something that's stopped English players from perhaps going over there?
Possibly, but maybe it's something that they've learned from in the States as well. I do wonder, you look at the players that are going to be playing in this competition, which we'll go into shortly, and there's not as many high profile international players. There's obviously the full quota of US women's national team players. There's players from Canada and Mexico, and there's a few players from Britain as well. But, you know, for example, Marta, who's played in the past, won't be out there, and Kelly Smith's played over there, and a few others, and they're not there this time. But it could be also down to the fact that there are leagues in Europe which are slowly closing the gap.
So obviously we've got the squads sorted now. Who do you like the look of?
Well, there's a few teams. I think, you know, as I said, the players have been distributed as evenly as possible, which will make for a really competitive league, hopefully, and hopefully we'll see some really interesting matchups. But I think when I saw the drafts and everything come together, I really like the look of Portland Timbers is the men's team, of course. Portland Thorns is the women's team. They've arguably got the best strike force not only in America but probably in the world, in Alex Morgan and Christine Sinclair. Alex Morgan being the American wonder girl, and Christine Sinclair being arguably one of the best players in the world. They've also got Tobin Heath, who's currently on loan at Paris Saint-Germain, but she'll be due back there in June. I like the look of the New York Flash. Abby Wambach, current World Player of the Year, will be playing up front for them, as well as Carly Lloyd. There's some great players across all eight teams, mate, to be honest with you. We obviously like the look of Boston, because they have Sidney Leroux, the American international, who is one of the brightest up-and-coming players in world football. But they also have Leanne Sanderson, who will be playing for Boston alongside her, and former Chelsea, Arsenal and England strikers, so we'll be keeping tabs on her and seeing how she's getting on. I'd also like to mention Ashley Baker. Ashley is going to be playing for Sky Blue, who is a team based in New Jersey. And Ashley is an English goalkeeper that was drafted out of the colleges in the States, so we'll obviously keep an eye on her. But I think, from a personal point of view, I'll be keeping a close eye on Seattle Reign. They're obviously managed by Laura Harvey, the former Arsenal coach. They've got some very interesting players. They've got Hope Solo, who is arguably one of the most recognised women's players in the world. They've got Megan Rapinoe, who is, you know, a consistent performer for America, but she will miss the first 2 months of the season because she's currently on loan at Lyon. And we've also got Jess Fishlock, the former Bristol Academy player and current FAWSL Player of the Year.
And not only that, someone we grabbed an interview with.
Okay, so I'm here with Seattle Reign midfielder Jess Fishlock. Jess, could you tell us first off, how did the move to Seattle Reign come about?
Well, basically what happened was that I just got back from Australia and I was on my way to Greece to play for Wales. And I had an email from Laura Harvey asking what my contract situation was with Bristol and if I would be interested at all in a move to Seattle. And I obviously replied and said what my contract situation was and that I would definitely be interested in a possible move, and then it just kind of went from there, really.
Was there ever any hesitation or any doubt in your mind that this would be a good move for you? Did you really have to think about it, or was it a pretty quick yes?
I think from my point of view, from a footballing point of view, it was an absolute yes. There was not really much thinking about it. Obviously, I have to think of the logistics and you know, with like I said, you know, leaving Bristol is not something that was very easy to do. You know, from the football point of view, no, it wasn't something that I wasted a lot of time thinking about, but then it was just about the logistics and if it was possible and how straightforward the move itself was going to be.
Okay. What do you know about Seattle? What do you know about the American soccer leagues that have run in the past?
Yeah, obviously I know a bit about the leagues that they have beforehand with regards to, you know, they were not very sustainable. But I know that they've got things in place now and a structure which makes it a lot more sustainable. And I'm hoping that that'll be the case with this one, and then it builds and builds and builds. With regards to Seattle as a club, I've read a bit about it. I've spoken about Laura Harvey, about the owner and the chairman, who seems completely enthusiastic about women's football. I know that they have a men's team or a Seattle Sounders, which do very well, and their fan base is supposed to be the best that there is. So, you know, I'm really, really, really excited.
Have you got any early expectations or any ambitions working under Laura in Seattle?
No, you know, it'll be interesting. I think I've got good things about Laura. You know, her achievements speak for herself and themselves, really. You know, I've spoken to some of my friends that have worked with her. Gwen has worked with her in the GB Olympics for the Indies. And, you know, I'm just really excited to work with her. I think that, you know, she knows my game. She's seen me play. She's at the combat here. So I think that she knows how she'll want to use me. And, you know, I'm just really excited to be a part of her.
Are there any players in particular that you're looking forward to lining up alongside? Obviously, you've got people like Megan Rapinoe and obviously Hope Solo. Is there anyone in particular that you're particularly looking forward to playing with?
yeah, you know, obviously being the same side as those two is fantastic. I am actually really looking forward to lining up alongside Megan. I think that she's a great player, and I think that we'll play well together. So I'm looking forward to her coming back, obviously, after she's finished her, and no doubt, successful stint with Leon. Also, you know, all of them, they've got Kayleen Kyle from Canada, who I've heard great things about, and, you know, the Mexicans as well. They're just going to be great players to play alongside, and I'm just looking forward to it.
How much of an influence on your decision was playing in Australia? You obviously had a stint out in Melbourne for a couple of months, and it was sort of to follow on from the stint that you had out in Holland a few years ago with Alkmaar. How much of an influence was the experience in Australia on moving to America?
Yeah, you know, I think it has had a big influence on it. To be honest, I only went out to Australia. A little break, really, as ridiculous as that sounds. I had an intense year in the WSL and with Wales, and I just kind of wanted to get away for a little bit. But actually turned everything around because I had such a good time out there. I really enjoyed playing football again, and not that I didn't enjoy it before, but it was more of an enjoyment, no pressure kind of environment for myself. Than it was playing in the WSL and playing for Wales on a weekly basis. And like I said, you know, I just enjoyed it so much, and it kind of revitalised me as a player and as a person. And then it made me realise that, you know, there's just so much more that I want to achieve and I want to do. So obviously, when I had the chance and the email from Laura, you know, I absolutely jumped at it. You know, 2 footers.
You're obviously going to be leaving the WSL, which is entering its third season. Will you be keeping tabs on it? Will you be keeping in touch with players to see how Bristol are getting on?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Like, a lot of them are Welsh players, obviously, which makes it easier for when I'll be meeting up with Wales. But, you know, I'll be following the WSL. It's a great league. You know, I've enjoyed being a part of it. It's progressing and developing really, really well. So, you know, I'll be supporting it absolutely from over in America, and hopefully I'll be able to
catch a
few
games.
The Women's Football Podcast.
Get involved via Facebook.
Facebook.com/WFPod.
So that was me talking to Jess Fishlock about her move to Seattle Reign. Coming back closer to home, Hamish, you managed to catch up with Tony Duggan following the Merseyside derby that kicked off the Continental Cup, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. Obviously, she was quite pleased with the result in the end, snatching a point. Late on, and of course all the talks being on Liverpool on Merseyside, but she told me that Everton are really up for the fight. Tony, it seems to be the Everton way of just doing everything under the radar.
Yeah, you know, I'm proud of the girls today. You know, it was a great performance from us. I think it showed that, you know, we stuck together as a team. I think we can work on what we do in possession, but, you know, without the ball we've got to be proud of ourselves, and everyone fighting for each other, so we're happy, but obviously next time hopefully it can be a win.
There seems to be a fantastic team spirit.
Yeah, you know, we've said all throughout pre-season that, you know, our team spirit's got back and we're going back to basics, and, you know, I think it showed tonight, so we're happy about that.
Was it hard over the summer seeing Liverpool strengthen so well? Was it difficult to be distracted by that, or...?
I don't think we've ever been distracted by it. I think Everton ladies have always stuck to what we've done, you know. Other clubs can do what they want, but we know if we get our things right in-house, then, you know, we can be up there with anyone and we can compete with anyone. And we showed that today, you know. Liverpool can go and spend the amount of money they want, and they can be on every channel on Sky if they want. But, you know, if we stick to our game plan and we stick together as a team and we do what we know we can do, then, you know, I think we've showed everyone tonight that, you know, we can put up a contest.
Is it good for the league, though, with them bringing all these players?
Yeah, it's brilliant, you know. Like, hopefully, I haven't seen the game back on telly, but hopefully it was a good watch, and I think it shows how passionate both teams were, you know, on the pitch. It felt it. I felt like I was in a real game from the first minute to the 90th minute, and that's what we want as a team, you know. it can only improve the quality and the standard of the game and hopefully the fan base of women's football.
You all know each other. Was there a lot of banter coming into the game and perhaps afterwards as well?
Do you know what? Normally there is, and this season there hasn't been, and I think that's why it's been so tense. You know, we've kept our mouths quiet and both teams have, and we haven't really said much to each other. You know, being with Fella in England while I was away for 2 weeks and the game wasn't mentioned once. So, you know, I think we just respected that both teams, you know, were focusing on the game and what we have to do.
Everton have a fantastic track record of bringing through youngsters, and Nikita Paris was the hero.
Yeah, I was made up for it, you know, like, I've been encouraging her all day, you know, to be positive, get on the ball, you know. When the youngsters are coming up, I felt it myself. You can get nervous in these type of games, but she was great today, and she showed today, you know, that she stood up and was counted for, and I think she played really well, and she can be a big player for us this season.
As someone who's come through that system, is it pleasing to see these players continuing to come through?
Yeah, it is. You know, I really am genuinely happy for Keaton, and hopefully she can continue to do that. And, you know, Alex Greenwood, she was brilliant today as well. She's putting in the performances week in, week out, and hopefully I can stand her in good stead on the international front as well. But we've got the likes of Paige and, you know, Shani on the bench, and other youngsters, Lucy, and, you know, I feel like if they come on, they can do a job for us. And even Simona, our new signing, like, it was unfortunate that she couldn't be here tonight, but she's 18 years of age, and, you know, the girl's got quality, so I'm looking forward to playing alongside her in the next coming weeks.
And obviously, just finally, so many people were speaking about the change of manager, but the consistency is still there, isn't it?
Yeah, like I say, not unchanged, you know. Andy's monitored Mo up right the way through, been alongside her, and nothing's changed in that respect. You know, like I say, Everton Ladies based themselves on 5 or 6 objectives, and we stick to that throughout, regardless of who's in charge or what players we have. We stick to it, and it showed tonight. You know, all this hard work isn't just done over pre-season. This has been years of hard work, and the foundations have always been there, so hopefully we can just build on them.
And finally, what's the target for this season?
You know, we're just going to take one game at a time, like I say. If we can show that fight in every game, then I'm sure we can come out with hopefully some silver and somewhere high up in the table.
So, that was Tony Duggan talking about the Merseyside rivalry. And suddenly, Kieran, that is the end of the pilot of the Women's Football Podcast.
Yay!
Yay! It's been fun.
It has been fun. It has been fun.
However, hopefully it's been fun for you listeners as well. We would, of course, welcome your feedback. Kieran, how can people get in touch with us?
Yeah, get in touch with us. We'd love the feedback. You can follow us on Twitter. We are on @WFPod. You can leave a comment on our Facebook page if you so wish. We are on facebook.com/WFPod. Or if you wish to send us an email, you can do that as well, where you can get us at thewfpod@gmail.com.
Blinding. All that's left for us is to say is goodbye. Thank you very much for listening, and hopefully we will bring you a further edition very soon.
Later.
Bye.
The Women's Football Podcast,
shining a light on the women's game.